ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the College Football Podcasting Studio, otherwise known as my backyard. And my man Scotty is at home again this evening. But folks, I actually know why. Scotty coached himself to a victory this evening. Scotty, how the hell are you, brother?
Man, I'm good. Just got home from the another beatdown. It was good. A little fun, although I'm ready to get my little man back out there. It's not nearly as much fun to coach when your kid's not out there to enjoy it.
What was the score tonight?
Do what now? Say that again.
What was the score tonight?
36-0. We did give up the first down, but it was not until the mid-third quarter when I had a bunch of backups in. So this was going to be our third game in a row without giving up the first down, so I was a little disappointed, but.
Oh, I can't wait till you get to the school system and you're watching other people cut your kids and get frustrated because they're making $70,000 a year, not putting as much effort into it as you are coaching little kids sports, and it's going to be fantastic for you. You're going to love it. My daughter's a cheerleader.
It's going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
It's going to be fabulous. I told y'all the story that my son's favorite coach is an Ole Miss guy, right? The guy that coaches, his favorite coach in middle school was an Ole Miss grad. played offensive line. It's hysterical.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, my daughter's a cheerleader in high school, and so like the high school parents, all I hear about is how many offers all these kids get all the time. I mean, there's got to be hundreds of offers on our football team, and the parents' heads are just exploding every Friday night watching the coaches do all these things, and I'm sitting there with a fat dip in, typically watching the Friday night game. I mean, I've been cheering for Illinois on Friday nights. So I'm cheering for unders. All kinds of good stuff. Got no dog in the fight, but I'm happy to have a good time with them. So, yes, high school sports are great. And I was telling somebody the other day, they were asking me about recruiting. And, you know, and the Aggies have gotten big into recruiting because they're really good at it. And I told them, I said, you know, I've never been a big follower of recruiting. And now I think I'm even less of a follower of recruiting because does it even matter?
It doesn't matter. not nearly like it did. I've said this 10 times, and I mean this. Half that class will not be there year 4/year 5 for Texas A&M. Half that class won't be there. They'll be somewhere else. I mean, that quarterback, if he doesn't get the job, you know Hayes King's gone. If he doesn't get the job back, he's gone. If that freshman doesn't get it next year, he's probably gone.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
I mean –
But that's every school.
Such a mess.
That's every school.
No doubt about it. And you know, the difficult part, I will say this for the, Jeff Collins got fired at Georgia Tech this week. You know, I liked Collins, but there's no way he could change in 4 years what they had been doing. He had to totally rebuild that roster. Dude, they had 260-pound linemen when he took over that roster. You can't go play football teams. You're not going to run the option kind of lineman. I mean, you just can't do it. And it's, I mean, look, it's the same thing Mike Leach is doing in Starkville. He's got a bunch of road graders that Dan Mullen and Joe Moorhead had. And he can't, I mean, these guys aren't athletic enough to block, but he's got to bring in skinny athletic guys that he's blowing up. And it takes those guys 3-4 years to get there. So, I mean, it's just such a different deal, and I felt bad for the guy getting fired. But, hell, when he's rebuilding the program, the portal and everything's made it so different because his best players hit the portal because, well, we're not going to be any good. We're going to win 3 or 4 games. I'm transferring. I mean, his tailback goes to Bama, you know. I mean, it's just like he doesn't have a chance to build the program, and you can't get transfers to come in and play because they're like, well, you guys aren't going to win. I mean, like, Mike Leach can get guys because at least State's going to be competitive, and they're going to get the ball a ton. You know, DBs get a ton of work in practice because they're flinging it all over the field. It is such a different cycle in recruiting than it used to be. It used to be the lifeblood of your program. I don't know that it is. I think the transfer portal is.
It could be. It could be. Scott, talking about last week, what was the – let's go through the most impressive things you saw last week as far as watching the teams play.
All right. So there were several things that my man, we call it Road Bo Nix, came back and he battled in the second half because he threw that pick six for 95. And I thought, baby, this is about to get on. We're about to win us another money line. I'm like, yeah, baby. And I got back in the car from coaching, and then he had come back and got a win because they got a couple picks. I mean, they got a couple big turnovers. And I was like, how in the world did that happen? So kudos to Bo Nix. I think going after a lot of kids would have melted on the road. Kudos to that kid, especially for everything that has gone on with that kid on the road. But I think the biggest thing, and we talked about this, how in the hell do you let Martinez beat you? I mean, he was running. What, they have 260 yards running?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all they can damn do. I mean, how does Oklahoma not figure out a way to stop that?
No, I was shocked with that one. Their Kansas State is basically running a single-wing offense. And, I mean, there's no denying it. If you go look at the stats, that's what they're doing. And that's why I was so heavy on OU. I thought Venables is going to be able to shut this thing down. He's got the talent to do it. And, again, kudos to K-State for getting the win. We lost the bet. But, I mean, they outplayed them. They outcoached them. Everything. And I was completely impressed with them. And, I mean, now I'm going to have to go back and figure out, do we have a new purple wizard that we got to start getting on board with? And climbing out there. And then let's not leave the state of Kansas without going too far and talk about your boy Lance Leopold and Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
That was actually a really fun game. I know probably nobody listening watched that game. That was a really fun game. I thought Kansas really controlled the game. Duke scored that late touchdown to make it competitive. But, man, that was a I thought Kansas actually looked pretty good. And you know they're going to be house again this weekend. I mean, they had a full house up there last week. But you asked the most impressive thing. Middle Tennessee going on the road.
Wow.
And just big play after big play after big play. The number one rated quarterback in the ACC coming in pregame, smooth benched this week because Middle Tennessee goes in and gas cans their ass. And they didn't beat them. They spanked them.
Oh, man. It was amazing. That score kept coming up at the bottom of my screen, and I had to finally flip over to make sure I was reading it correctly because I'd had a few by then. And, I mean, the big plays that Middle was putting up, I mean, they had touchdowns from, like, 60 out, 70. I mean, big plays.
That one wide receiver had, like, a 95-yard TD and a 75-yard TD.
99.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. And he dropped a pass. I heard Rick Stock still say this. And I saw him talking to him when he came off the field. He said he told him after he dropped the pass, he said, you just didn't want to bring your average down, did you?
I didn't
what a
see
great
that.
Line. Oh, that's a fabulous line.
How about,
to me, was the most impressive thing. Because Miami, a couple of times you thought, okay, they're going to answer the bell. They've been sleepwalking. And just boom, huge play again. So, to me, that was the most impressive thing.
How about Joey McGuire at Texas Tech, who spent the entire offseason building up the program with the alumni, with fans in the area, letting it, you know, let his coordinators do everything. He's just out there recruiting. He took the CEO job day one and said, we're going to rebuild this program. And Tech has not looked great. And then he gets Texas to come in there and does a fantastic job, comes back in the second half, ends up winning the game in overtime. Guys, I mean, he's got street cred for years in Lubbock, but he's done it right in a sense that he's come in, he's fired everybody up, he's getting it going. And now you're looking around at Texas and you're like, I mean, Texas and Miami, are they two programs?
Here we go again.
It's like, that's what you got to be thinking if you're a Texas or Miami fan. It's like, oh, we bought into all this, and then are we going to be right back where we were in year three, year two, maybe? I don't know, but it's crazy.
Yep. The interesting part to me is, look, Miami, I still thought that Diaz was doing a pretty good job down there. He was recruiting well. Again, what did he get, 3 years? These ADs and these boosters just want to fire guys so fast. I mean, we have moronic fans at Mississippi State. They're like, well, we need to fire Leach. What the hell have you seen that thinks makes you think we need to fire Mike Leach? I mean, what are you watching? And then, I'm not a Mike Leach fan, and I'm not an Air Raid fan. I'm really not. Not especially not at Mississippi State. But that doesn't mean that I don't think he's doing a good job. And then you flip, literally the next thing, and you'll see some moron on a message board posting, "Well, both of our running backs are NFL backs." Whoa. I'm like, again. The hell are you smoking? I like both our backs. But I mean, seriously, I mean, like the average fan is a complete idiot. Just a complete idiot. And just because you're rich and a rich booster doesn't make you less of an idiot. In some cases, I think it may make you more of an idiot. Take Auburn.
Take Auburn.
I mean, they literally are fixing a gas can who was one of the most popular hire coaches coming out 2 years ago. And, I mean, there's no chance he's going to make it through the season. There's zero chance
he's going to make it. He'd be gone this week had he lost, had that kid not fumbled. The Missouri kid had that fumble, kid he's fumbled. Gone. He's absolutely gone.
Which speaking of that, how could Missouri find another way to lose a football game in a three-minute stretch? No. I mean, all right. They miss a 25-yard field goal or 26-yard field goal at the end of regulation to win it. So they go to overtime. Anders Carlson misses a field goal, and their ass jumps off sides. Oh, let's make it a 39-yard field goal this time, and he just guts it, drains it. And then first play to the house, and the running back changes hands, reaching for the end zone, and fumbles. Auburn recovers it in the end zone, ball game over. And you're just like, holy hell, did that just happen in the last 5 minutes? I mean, Missouri just creating ways to lose a football game.
It's amazing. And I'll say one thing, and on staying in the SEC East, Tennessee, you and I were high on Tennessee coming into the season. And we got that game last week. I'm not talking about bad beats. We should have pulled that one out against Florida, but a lot of people didn't like Tennessee. They thought this team was fool's gold. We're not through the season yet. I get it. But if you
this team's not fool's gold.
If you can't buy into what Josh Heupel's doing, the offense looks good, the defense is getting better as they start playing. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this Alabama-Tennessee game this year. I'm looking forward to the Tennessee-LSU game here in a couple of weeks. This Tennessee team's really good. This Tennessee team, to me, has been a huge surprise. Like, I thought they were going to be good, but everybody else, they're like, I don't know. This Tennessee team is legitimately a top 10 football team in the country. And they may drop a few along the way, but they're a very good football program. I've been super impressed with Josh Heupel's done down there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's done a really good job. I think Lane Kiffin putting all the new pieces together has done a really good job in Oxford, too. Look, they're running the football, and we'll talk about that game, briefly a little bit. Today, I'm waffling on that game. I go back and forth every time I study it. But at the end of the day, he's doing a really good job running the football, controlling line of scrimmage, and giving those quarterbacks a chance to grow up. And it looks like it's going to be Jackson Dart is going to be the guy he's going to ride with. But at the end of the day, he's got to grow that kid up. And they don't have the playmakers on the outside they've had, so they need to be better. Kiffin's doing a really good job taking what he has and put a round peg in a round hole. And right now he's got great backs and a good offensive line. He's taking advantage of that. These guys are, what, third in the country in rushing offense?
Fourth
in the country in rushing offense. I mean, they're right up at the top. It's a good football team. I'm waffling on that game a little bit because Kentucky getting a really good running back this week. So I don't know what that's going to mean. My gut tells me that home field's going to give Slovis fits for either Kazakhstan Zoo, even though it's 11 o'clock in the morning. I think it'll still be rowdy. And I think that may be the difference in the game, but seven feels like a lot in that game too. So one other thing from last week, we were talking, you know, looking at games and all of that, that Clemson game, that for a defensive line that gets as much hype as they get, I was less impressed with the team in the second half than I've ever been. They looked completely gassed. They couldn't get off the ball. It was just score fest. No team could stop the other team. And I expected that from Wake Forest. I did not expect that. Don't tell me how incredible that defensive line is when they literally were standing there chicken fighting in the fourth quarter because they couldn't get up the field. I was completely unimpressed. I was not expecting those guys to be that gassed and that unable to make a play when it mattered.
Well, it's going to be interesting this week because they're playing what I think is the best team in the ACC when they played North Carolina State.
And so they're in a hurricane.
They're going to have to get it done. Hurricane Ian is coming this weekend. In case you have been living under a rock, I will say this, the comedy of this hurricane coming, and I don't mean this is comedy of a hurricane. I've lived through several, and prayers out to everybody in Florida that's going through this. But if you've been gambling a while, used to when a hurricane would come, obviously if the wind speeds are over 15 miles an hour, you start looking at the under. And you and I have been doing this a long time. And when hurricanes would come, the unders wouldn't start crashing until typically right around Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The unders were crashing like these guys are knowing where this hurricane's going Monday morning. I mean, huge crashes in these unders. And so pay attention to these totals because this hurricane turns and goes a little bit further east and crosses Florida and goes out there. These unders have come way down. I mean, there's gigantic differences in the numbers in these unders, and there's going to be some opportunities. But I'll never forget my favorite hurricane game ever. You and I were betting on this. It was North Carolina was playing Notre Dame, and they were in Chapel Hill, and it was a full-on monsoon, and it was raining as hard as I've ever seen it. DeShone Kizer was the quarterback at Notre Dame, and Kelly was coach. And he tried to.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
I remember this game.
And I texted you. I'm like, bro, we got to get on these unders. And I max bet the first quarter, first half, the game total, everything we could across the board. And they couldn't do anything because the weather was so nasty. So pay attention on Saturday morning. Look where your team's playing. See what's going to go on because it will affect these college kids much more than it'll affect the pros. But it'll be in there, but these numbers have already crashed because everybody thinks the under's coming. Now you're starting to see people come back on the over because they think the hurricane's turning in a different direction. So trying to guess the weather, it's harder than what we're trying to do, which is guess the winners in college football games. Last thing I'll say to this, one of my favorite coaches, Iowa State, last week, Dave Aranda completely pantsed the Iowa State last week all game long. And I was laughing my ass off at the end when they obviously did not know the new penalty where defensive players cannot go below the waist to take on a block. So if you've got a pulling lineman, no longer can a defensive back come up and take him down at the waist to knock the defensive. They've got to take him up heads on. And so Baylor's got a pulling lineman. Runs into the defensive back that weighs like 215 pounds, and the defensive back ducks and takes him out around the mid-thigh area, drops him, and Iowa State just goes bananas because they get the personal foul call on that one. It backs them up. They had to call timeout so they could keep yelling at him. I'm not saying it cost them the game or anything, but Aranda knew the rule, got it right.
Know the rule.
Yeah.
Know the rules. That was a gigantic rule change in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And candidly, is a good rule change. A lot of injuries can happen, but the same thing happens. Got to be within the tackle, 3 yards of the tackle boxes to hit low, and that goes for the defense and the offense. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. If you got an athletic enough lineman to get out there, you know, I just out schemed your brother. That is what it is.
You got to protect those guys.
I mean, that's the deal. So that was that really kind of figure out, okay, who's fool's gold and who's not, because we've had a lot of schizophrenic, you know, deals. And before we leave last week, I do want to comment on Appy State. Sucks for those guys because they were the better football team Saturday, but they smooth ran out of gas as James Madison scored 29 straight to win that game. Tough for them, but man, I don't, you know, look, how do you, the games they have been in, how does that happen? And, you know, at the end of the day, there's still one game ahead. Problem is, that was a conference game. So it hurts them.
Don't sleep on the Dukes.
One game ahead in the win total.
Yeah, don't sleep on the Dukes. The Dukes cannot win the conference and go to a – I don't think they can go to a bowl game unless they petition and they can't win the conference. But don't sleep on the Dukes. They got a lot of games left this year. This is one of the best FCS teams in the country for the last 10 years. They've got a good coach. The quarterback transferred in from Colorado State, and the kid's doing really well. Cinto.
Speaking of, how shitty is Colorado State? I mean, there are some teams that are really bad in college football this year, and Colorado State is one of them. So, anyway, that's enough about last week. Let's get into this week, baby. I mean, look, before we get started, you and I talked about this. How about UNLV and New Mexico State being double-digit favorites? I'm going to bet New Mexico State simply on principle. It is. And I got 50 or 100 bucks to just throw out there, no big deal. I'm telling you, when I looked at the line, I was like, their ass. I couldn't find it. But they were double-digit favorites. They are almost 2-touchdown favorites against the football team. Now, look, they probably should be because it was ugly for FIU last week. But, I mean, there are some bad football teams out there.
And two of them are – two of them live in the state of Colorado. So, yes, I totally agree with you.
Yes, they do.
All right.
Yes, they do.
Scotty, let's get on to this week. First game we got, Utah State, BYU, opening up on Thursday night. We haven't done a Thursday night game yet this week, Scotty. Game 103-104 on the roster, over under 60. BYU's laying 24. Gunnar Romney's supposed to be back. I'm not sure if the other receiver's going to be back. But Utah State is circling the drain in this game. This is an actual rivalry game for these guys up in Utah. I know y'all don't go up there much, so y'all don't see it. BYU is not playing Utah this year, and Utah State's coming in. They are little brother's little brother in this program. Where I'm going to this game, I'm going first half under. Under 32.5 first half. You got to get 5 touchdowns to get me over this number. I'm going under in the first half. I think BYU is a very physical team. They're going to cause Utah State problems. Utah State's only scoring 15 points a game, and they're giving up 36. BYU scoring 38 points a game, or 33 points a game, only giving up 28. I like under in this one. I think Kalani Sitake just wants to take care of business. This BYU team is good. I know they've lost a game to Oregon. They've got big games coming. They still can make some noise. This is a game they just got to go out and win. I think they'll get it done easily, be more physical, a little bit explosive, but you're going to get have to get five touchdowns in the first half to go over this number, and immediately anytime I see that, I'm going under 32.5 on a Thursday night standalone game. It's the first play I'm going to make.
I like it. Look, we talked about this. I think they went 41 in the first half last year, but Utah State was a significantly better football team. I think it's exactly what you said. I mean, BYU is going to be able to grind on them, grind them down. I think Utah State's going to play with a lot of energy as much as they can. But at the end of the day, I think it doesn't quite get 5 touchdowns. That's what I think.
Next game, let's go to the I-10 rivalry. I don't think it's really a thing. I just made it up, but we're going to call it that. Game 105-106 on your rotation sheet. Tulane will be traveling to Houston to play Friday evening. Over-under here is at 54. Houston is laying 2.5. Tulane is 3-1 straight up, 3-1 against the number. Houston is 2-2 straight up, 1-3 against the number. I don't like anything – I am seeing out of the University of Houston currently. I thought this team was going to be really good. I thought this team was going to run away with the conference. Defensively, I thought everything was going to be good. All they got left is Parrish now, and Toon has to carry the offense. I have not been impressed with what's going on. Some of the comments coming out of Damon Holgorsen this week kind of lead me back to that weird season he had when everybody redshirted, and he was like trying to get the locker room right. This week he kind of made a comment basically saying these guys need to grow up and play football and deal with some things. I don't like it at all. I'm a giant Willie Fritz fan. This Tulane team's already gotten a big win. I think Tulane may come down to Houston and absolutely beat Houston in this game.
I do too. I think they do. I think they win this game straight up. I like Tulane here. You look at them defensively and offensively, statistics wise. The key is turnovers for Tulane. They can't turn the football over. That's going to be the key for those guys. But I mean, you look at them and they're really good on defense, and I think that's where they've got the advantage. They're a better football team, but Tulane's given up some big plays passing the football, giving up a pretty good bit of yardage, and that's what Tulane needs to happen is when they throw, it be a big completion. 9.2 yards per passing attempt is a big deal, and that's what they need. They're going to try to run it, control the clock, averaging 4.2 yards a carry. You look at them on the offensive side of the football, and they're very similar teams. Tulane runs the ball a little bit better. But at the end of the day, I think their defense is better, and I think that's why they win. I think that's why they win this football game. I'm with you. Houston has completely unimpressed me. I thought they were going to be significantly better than they are, and I think Tulane's good enough to come in and get the job done. Yeah. But I definitely like them.
I like what Pratt's been doing, the QB at Tulane. I think this is a good spot for him. So I'm with Tulane. Give me 2.5. I do think they will cover the money line. Scotty, next game I want to go to. I love this one, too. Let's go beat, beat. Game 107-108. UTSA will be traveling to Murfreesboro to play Middle Tennessee State. Over-under here is 63.5. Middle Tennessee State's getting plus 4.5 in this one. Both these teams are scoring around 35 points a game. They're both giving up numbers. UTSA's giving up actually some more. UTSA's 2-2 straight up, 2-2 against the number. Middle Tennessee is 3-1 straight up, 3-1 against the number. Middle Tennessee State is coming off of the biggest win in program history. It is the first win for Middle Tennessee State against a ranked team in the history of the program. They're coming off of a short week. They've been getting told all week long, good game, good game. Look what y'all did. Y'all went and beat Miami. You got a UTSA team that's coming in here that won the conference last year. I'm still convinced this is the best team in the conference. Coming in here, this was a team that had the lead in the University of Texas at one point in time. Coming to this one, give me beep, beep, brother. I love it. Laying 4.5 on the road, I think beep, beep comes in here and gets it done against Middle. I don't think that they're going to – I think they're going to outclass this team pretty solid.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think they're the better team. I mean, when you look at this, I do think Middle Tennessee is playing better football. They had some guys that missed that first game when they kind of, you know, they kind of struggled a little bit. But they're obviously playing better after last week. But at the end of the day, I think the best player on the field is the quarterback for the Beep Beeps, and he gets it done. And I look at statistics and all of those things because now you're getting a good enough read on these teams to know what they do. And I just feel like they are the better football team. When you get this done, I still think they're the class of the league. I don't think Middle Tennessee's there. It's going to be fascinating to see what UTSA does versus the run, because that's the one thing Middle Tennessee's been very, very stingy with is stopping the run. And obviously, that's going to be the key to this ball game. Vegas clearly doesn't think they're going to stuff them running the football, or this over-under is not 63. And that's where I think the difference in this ball game is.
Scotty, let's go to the Big Ten country. Let's talk about Burt Bielema game. Illinois versus Wisconsin. Game 115, 116 on your rotation sheet. Over under here is 43.5. Wisconsin's laying 7. 3-1 is Wisconsin. 3-1 against the spread. That was Illinois. Wisconsin's 2-2 straight up, 2-2 against the number. Scotty, what are we going to get in the Burt Bielema Bowl?
I cannot believe that I'm betting on Burt going back to whiskey. I mean, on the road at Whiskey. I, But here I am. You look at these teams, and hell, they're identical. I mean, statistically. And I candidly, I think Illinois may be a little better statistically than Wisconsin is. This is all about the quarterback situation at Wisconsin. It's a mess. Candidly, I don't know that some Fun Belt teams wouldn't have looked better against Ohio State than they did last week. They just got drunk. Ohio State could have beaten them as bad as they wanted to. I mean, that game was nowhere close. And I just think Bielema obviously is going to be fired up going home. I think this is the first time he's had a chance to go in there with a team that's capable of winning. 7 is too much. And I can see Burt getting straight out win.
You're taking Illinois with the leading rusher in the country coming here to Wisconsin to get this game done, stay within the number. I kind of like it. Graham Mertz at Wisconsin. You know what's funny about this game is the best game Graham Mertz ever played was his first game when he played against Wisconsin, and he came in and lit it up. And I was on board. You were on board. We thought Wisconsin had finally found a quarterback that was going to let this team open it up a little bit, and they were going to change the game. And he has never played as good as he ever has against that first game against Illinois. And so I am completely intrigued with this, but I cannot believe we're betting Burt again on a Friday night after that on a Saturday after that last debacle we had against Indiana. But we'll be on Burt in this one. Let's keep it rolling. Next game we want to go to, game 152, Scotty. You know where this game's being played?
It's being played in the land of gold and green.
That's right. We're going to God's country. We're going to go to Baylor Bears playing Oklahoma State. This is a great game. This is a rematch from last year with the Big 12 championship on the line. Oklahoma State's going to roll into Waco with a bitter taste in their mouth. Over-under here comes in at 58.5, 56.5. Baylor's laying 2.5 in this one. Oklahoma State's 3-0 straight up, 2-1 against the number. Baylor's 3-1 straight up, 3-1 against the number. I'm going to keep this one real simple. I think Oklahoma State, they have in their team, Spencer Sanders is actually playing better football than he's played in the last several years.
He's all they got.
But he is all they have in this team. And this Baylor team is a team that's still kind of developing and what they want to get. And they're going to go to Waco and get this game. I think Dave Aranda is a great coach. I think he's going to scheme this team in. The kids at Baylor know what they're getting when Oklahoma State comes in, but they're getting this game in Waco. Let's take the Bears -2, brother. Get this one done. God's team getting a win. Everybody's going to heaven on Sunday.
What is the line? Sunsets may be burnt orange, but heaven is green and gold,
brother.
There we go. I love it. I agree with you here. I think Sanders is a really good player, but I do think he's all they got. I think this is a one-dimensional football team. I also think that a big difference here in this ball game is going to be, I think this is where the loss of defense coordinator for Oklahoma State starts to show up.
Jim Knowles being gone. Absolutely.
You start getting into these games, I think it makes a difference. People don't realize how good of a job he did, and I think he may be the real reason that Ohio State may end up winning the national championship.
Let me tell you this.
I think they got a chance because they're going to be that much better on defense.
Oklahoma State last year at this point in the season, even further than this, was giving up only 13 points a game. They have played a worse schedule than they played last year. This team's given up 23 points a game. Jim Knowles being gone has caused a problem. And the other thing, too, is that defense last year for Oklahoma State was a lot of fifth-year seniors and some NFL draft picks. There were some old guys. They had been playing a long time. I think this Baylor team, real quiet, that's okay. Nobody ever looks at Baylor to do anything. I think they get this win against Oklahoma State in workmanship. It's under a field goal. Get the win. Keep on moving along. I think everything's going to be good.
David Randa's got it working in Waco. I mean, now look, he seems like – look, I've known and – seen and played for coaches that you probably would not want your kid to go play for. Dave Aranda could not be more the polar opposite of that. He seems exactly like the kind of dude you want to have your kid be influenced by for 4 or 5 years. And that seems to be transitioning to wins on the the football field, because it's turning out that he may be a really good head football coach too. And you get a good dude who runs a good program and is a good football coach combined, and that really is how you win conference championships. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, if you get a chance, go out and do a search on Dave Aranda losing his job when he was a coach at Hawaii, and he's married, he's got his kids, and he gets fired, and they're basically homeless, and they have to move back to the States, move in with in-laws, and he's got to go find a job. And he ends up moving all the way around, comes all the way through LSU, everything else, and ends up at Baylor. The dude's got a tremendous character, and the fact that he can keep this Baylor thing on the rails is absolutely amazing to me. Let's take the Bears. Let's get this one done. But, Scotty, now that we went to my alma mater and my town, let's go to Stark Vegas, baby. Texas A&M traveling to Stark Vegas. This is game 181, 182 on your rotation sheet. Over-under here is 45. Mississippi State's laying 3 to 3.5 in this game. Texas A&M is 3-1 straight up, 2-2 against the number. Mississippi State is 3-1 straight up, 2-1-1 to the number is what Mississippi State is. Scotty, what are we going to see in Starkville on Saturday?
I'm going to drop some knowledge on your Aggies here that they probably won't enjoy, but they are 500 against Mississippi State since they joined the Southeastern Conference. I do not think that is what they were expecting when they came rolling into the SEC. And they are, and look, they won their first two games with Manziel. They've got a losing record those next, what is that, 8 years in the deal? I think very, very surprising. State's got an overall winning record against the Aggies when you include a bowl game win. It is a big, I think, big surprise to most Aggie fans that State has been as competitive and has won as many games. And look, State's trucked them a couple of times. I do not like that Jimbo is not letting DJ Durkin coach DJ Durkin defense. He's a really good coach and a really good defense coordinator. I think they're running basically the same scheme that Jimbo wants to run. I don't like that. State's had a lot of success against it. Mike Leach has had a lot of success against it. And I think that may translate this week. Here's the deal. This is a terrible spot on the Aggie schedule. They're clearly more talented than Mississippi State. But State's quarterback is playing at a pretty high level. The key for this ball game is how Mississippi State blocks the defensive front for Texas A&M. Will Rogers got time to throw the football. He is going to score some points. He's going to find some open guys. It's the best group of wide receivers as a whole probably Mississippi State's ever had when you get down to a depth standpoint. But then you flip over to Texas A&M on the offensive side, and they lose their best wide receiver. And they already couldn't throw the football. That's right. And that guy's a really, really good player.
Absolutely. He's an NFL player.
They're really going to have to lean on the running back. I just feel like that this is Bama's on deck for Texas A&M next week. Arkansas was a big game last week. They had Miami, which turned out to be a really big game. I think a bigger game than they thought because it became a must win because they had lost. Man, you start talking about 3 and 4 games in a row, and this is just a flat spot for A&M, and that's really the reason that I think they've had the lack of success that they probably expected when they came into the league against Mississippi State. And I think that continues on Saturday. I would have, if you'd have told me I was going to be laying 3.5 on this when it got here, I'd have been like, well, what in the hell's happened? Who got hit by a bus at A&M, you know? But here we sit. I still think Vegas is a little too high on Mississippi State, personally, but I think the Bulldogs figured out how to get it done. I think they win by a touchdown in this ball game. I think it's very similar to last year.
I like it. So you think Leach has got this one again, one more time?
I think he's got it again. Look, he gets, for whatever reason, got a great record against A&M. I mean, that's one of the teams really did a big job, bang-up job against at Tech, and then he's done a nice job at State. Look, I'm going to tell you the exact same thing next week when Arkansas rolls into town. They're bad spots on the schedule. And State is getting fortunate that that's what they're doing. They're catching some teams in some bad spots. And look, if you're gonna have a season where you overachieve, you got to win. They let one get away in Baton Rouge that they could have easily won. I'm gonna give you a kind of shock some people when I say this. I don't think X&M is as good as LSU. This team is
No, I agree with you. I think Texas A&M's actually – I was high on them, but they've kind of disappointed me this season. But we're going to see what they can do. They pull this one out. It could be interesting. But I think this is a weird spot for them in the schedule. I'm with Mississippi State laying 3.5 here. Scotty, let's come back. Team needs a rebound. Oklahoma's playing TCU game 183-184 on the rotation sheet, over under 68.5. TCU's getting 6.5. Oklahoma's 3-1 straight up, 2-2 against the number. TCU is 3-0 straight up, 3-0 against the number. Where I like this game is I like the over in this game. Sonny Dykes has been known to let his defense out there, and he's just going to try to outscore them. And Oklahoma comes down here, and they've always been in a weird spot when they come down to Frogtown. They've got on deck next week. Don't forget, on deck next week, they got the Red River Shootout. And this one, and they just lost last week. So I think you get a fucking great showing from Oklahoma here. After losing last week to Kansas State, I think you get a great showing from this one. But I think this TCU team can cause some problems for them. Over 68, it's the highest number on the board this week. You know what I want to do? Let's take the over, brother. Let's get there. I need 10 touchdowns. I want them all. I think we're going to get it.
I do think this is a score fest. I think TCU's, you know, kind of meh on defense when they're playing high-end talent.
Oh, they're terrible.
Gabriel's good. He's playing he's playing at a high level. I am kind of disappointed otherwise in this offense. Graham still, I just can't figure out why he's not better than he is. That kid was a really good player. I expected that guy to be an all-conference type player at Oklahoma. Surprised he's not doing a better job. But Gabriel's playing at such a high level. I think this is a lot of points. I think Oklahoma gets right on offense simply because it's not that physical punch in the mouth kind of style that Kansas State was. I think Sonny Dykes is going to figure out how to get some points on the board. He always does. And I think we sail over this number. This has got shootout fashion on us, and we got another one coming up in just a minute. That's going to be another that I think is a full on shootout. So I think we're going to get a couple of high scoring ball games this weekend.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the MAC, brother. Game 203, game 204. Ohio is playing Kent State. They'll be traveling up to Kent to play this game. Over under 65.5. Kent State's laying 11.5. Kent State is 2-2 straight up. Excuse me, Ohio's 2-2 straight up, 1-3 against the number. Kent State is 1-3 straight up and 3-1 against the number. Let me put this out there real quick. If you have not watched Kent State, they play at breakneck speed. Their quarterback, Schley, good kid, man. He can get it done. I think they're going to be able to move the ball. Ohio has got one of the worst defenses in the country. And by mean one of the worst, I mean bottom three.
The worst.
The worst defense. I was giving them a little credit right there. But one of the worst defenses. They're giving up 45 points a game. They're about to play Kent State. And I'll say this, and then I'll let you roll on it, because I know this is my game of the week. I was in the Cover 3 podcast this week with Bud Foster, who's an old Florida State beat writer. And he does a good job covering college football. If y'all haven't listened to him, go check it out. And any of the stuff he writes is really good. I really like Bud a lot. He's very, very easy to read. And not only that, I think he keeps it middle of the road and who he's favoring and what's going on. But looking at this game, he had an interview with the Kent State head coaches. And if you haven't seen Kent State, we've talked about this early on. Their preseason schedule was bananas on who they had to play. And he interviewed the head coach and he interviewed the assistant coaches and asked him and said, hey, what's the deal with this preseason schedule? And the guy's like, well, we kind of like it. And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's like, you know, when you're in the batter's, you know, in the on deck circle, you got a donut on your bat and you're swinging hard with that donut trying to get ready. And he goes, that's what we feel like we've been doing the last couple of weeks. We've been playing some of the best teams in the country, and now we get to get back in the MAC. He goes, we can run fast. We're going to play hard. I think this team sails over at 65. I think Kent State may score in the 60s in this game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this game is old school, midweek action, Toledo and Northern 66, 63. I mean, just freaky numbers that used to hang up. I think this number goes, I mean, hell, Fordham scored 52 on them.
On 52. Ohio.
I mean, it is. I mean, literally, the least amounts of points they've given up is 38 to Florida Atlantic. I mean, everybody knows that I think, you know, that coaching staff's awesome. So, I mean, if you've listened to this podcast very much. So, look, they're giving up – when you're giving up 5 yards a carry and over 9 yards an attempt, you got problems on defense. But the deal is I think they're a pretty good football team on offense. They have been able to score, and I like their quarterback. The younger brother of the kid that played – Rourke that played for him for a long time. And I think he's a good player. They can score some points. They get out there, they get after it. So I think this game is really, really high scoring. Both these teams have turned it over some. So you're going to get some possessions that are short fields. I think this is a humdinger of a game, goes way over the number. This number is going to be closer to 80.
Scotty, let's stay in the Sun Belt. Let's go to Troy, Western Kentucky game, 213-214. Staying in the small conference is what I mean, staying in the G5. This is an interesting game. Over-under is 55.5. Western Kentucky's laying 5. It's 2-2 straight up for Troy. 3-1 against the spread is Troy. Western Kentucky's 3-1 straight up, 3-1 against the number. I like Troy in this game. I think Troy has the best defense in the Sun Belt. This team would have had another win had you not had that weird App State game. Western Kentucky's coming off of that fucking ass beating that they gave FIU in this one. I think they're a little bit fool's gold. I think Troy comes in here, gets the upset. -5 for Western Kentucky. I'm going to take Troy +5. I think they win this game straight out.
I liked Troy all season in the offseason. And then Ole Miss first half really pushed them around. I expected a little more effort. And then they come out second half and were fabulous against Ole Miss. I think they kept Ole Miss out of the end zone the second half. So they were significantly better, made a couple big mistakes that really kept them from candidly having a chance in that ball game. So I think Troy's got a chance here to win this game outright, just like you said. Western Kentucky, man, they go hang a gigantic number up last week. And in first week, they look, awful against Austin Peay. Hell, they could have lost that game.
I know.
You know? And so you've kind of gotten a team that's kind of been all over the map. And I Troy here to keep this game really, really close and possibly pull out the win on the road, which will raise some eyes in the Fun Belt.
Scotty, let's go back to one of our last games. We're going to talk about a team that you and I love. Little love affair we got for NC State. Game 127-128, Clemson, NC State. Over-under is 40.5. Clemson's laying 6.5. NC State comes in this game 4-0 straight up, 2-2 against the number. Clemson comes in this game 4-0 straight up, 1-3 against the number. NC State, a team that you and I picked to win the ACC, and the only way they can do it is they have to win this game. Scotty, they're getting 6.5 points. Is that too many? Is it too little? You think they can cover?
I think especially if it's a slog fest and in the rain and all of that, because what a lot of people don't like about NC State is the ability to make big plays. They did lose some good running backs from last year's team. But at the end of the day, they were one of the best teams in this league last year. They got the bulk of the people back. A lot of people don't like Larry because he's, you know, just like I said, they lack explosive plays. I think he's a good quarterback. I think this may get a lot of rain, kind of be a slugfest. And if it is, then I definitely think this is too many points. I am telling you, I think this is the best team in the league. I felt it coming in, and I think they're likely going to win this game straight up. That's what I think. But I think it's going to be an absolute slugfest when these teams go at it. Look, the Wolfpack's 5-2 against the spread. Their last 7 meetings in Clemson. So it ain't like they got a win in that deal too. So, I mean, it's straight up. It's also low scoring when they go on the road over there, under 6-1 their last 7 meetings. So at the end of the day, this tells me it's a low scoring ball game. It's a one possession game. I just think 6.5 is too many. If you're really froggy, then you can go ahead and lay the money line. I'm going to take the points in this simply because I just like that number. I can get a big play from Clemson that wins them the game and still cover is what my thought is. I think this is a really, really tight football game. And I think they're as good as Clemson. That's what I think.
The NC State team is interesting to me. I don't think they have shown what we thought they were going to show at the beginning of the season, but I do think this is a good football team. Clemson last week, were you blown away by how tired they looked at the end of the game?
Man, I'm telling you, I couldn't believe how pedestrian that defense looked in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were just, it was a score fest. I mean, like I was in the car at one point, and I guess that was a Wake Forest color guy. He goes, what turned out in the first half was a team that nobody could do anything, and now no team can stop the other one. The first one that gets a stop is going to get a win. It's the way it worked out. And it really was the way it worked out.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. Scotty, other games you're looking at this weekend, what do you got?
A couple of games that I like. I like Army, Georgia versus Georgia State. I think that number's gotten up to 8, but I think they cover that. And mini line has gone way up. Man, I think Minnesota's good. I mean, they are a good football team. I like both those numbers that are kind of off the radar.
If AOC does not play for Purdue, mini minus 13 is a solid bet. And I think that's why that number has accelerated so much, because they may have some news that AOC is not going to play. I've been talking to my buddy, the Purdue guy. He's getting no news on that. I haven't heard a thing. So we'll see. What about Wake, Florida State?
Man, that number feels huge to me, too. I think everybody's overvaluing Florida State. I won't say they're an average football team because they're better than that. But, I mean, the teams they're beating, you know, are pedestrian. I mean, at the end of the day, and I think this is the best football team they've played. I think Wake keeps it within the number. It'd surprise me none if they won this game.
You think Wake's better than LSU?
No, but I think they're every bit as good. I think they're every bit as good, especially offensively. And LSU that night they were not very good on offense.
Speaking of LSU, I think they go down to Auburn this weekend and beat them with a switch. This LSU,
and if they do, he's fired.
I think this Auburn team's a mess. They don't have much. There's no explosiveness in their offense. The LSU defense, the last time we saw them on the field when it was on TV, was when they played Mississippi State, and this team was fucking solid. I would buy into this cover. I do not like it at 9.5. If it was 7, I would buy in completely. At 9.5, I'm going to pass on that one.
Yeah, the number's just getting big, but I think they probably cover. The Alabama game, man, I saw that line. I'm like, Arkansas is going to cover that at
trap,
home.
Trap,
and then you, trap. Start doing research on it, and you're like, man, they're begging you to bet Arkansas. And Bama has gone out and put, you know, has put some huge numbers together, huge wins. I think they've only not covered 17 twice since Saban's been there. Their second SEC game. That's quite an interesting stat. So, you know, again, as you get out and you start digging into some of these games, that's what you can get into. But one game that I just keep bouncing back and forth against, Kentucky Ole Miss. I'm all over that. At first I wanted to bet Kentucky, running back coming back. You know, Rodriguez is a good player. I'm like, do I want to take this? And then I'm like, man, you start looking at it and you're like, man, Ole Miss looks good. Not a huge Levis fan. I'm like, I don't know. So I'm kind of waffling on that. That's going to be a Saturday morning call for me.
Would you agree, if you take Saban out of the equation, that Stoops and Lane Kiffin are two of the top three coaches in the SEC currently?
Oh yeah, 100%.
I mean, I know we got Brian Kelly. I know we got Brian Kelly and we got Leach, but they're still trying to get there. But I'm just saying, would you put it in perspective? Would you say they're two of the best top three coaches in there?
I will tell you that I definitely think Leach is, Kiffin is growing into it. He has, this sounds so condescending, and I don't mean for it to sound this way, because I'm just a couple years older than the guy, but he's grown up. He's really matured as a football coach. Now, look, candidly, he was a kid when he got the Raiders job. You know, I mean, he was a kid. He was a kid when he got the USC job. So, I mean, I guess it's expected for him to grow up, but man, it's just not, he's not the, it looks like he's outgrown the Joey Freshwater, and that was not that long ago. I mean, it doesn't feel like he's that, you know, like he's just that kind of nitwit anymore. And that's obviously good for us. I see him tied to some jobs. I'm going to tell you something. I hate to crush Nebraska people. His ass ain't leaving Oxford to go to the Lincoln. That's a shittier job. Sorry to tell you, but he's not. Now, will he for the Plains? Maybe. You know, because he might have a chance, and I think he'd love to get on a field with Saban, with being able to recruit similar talent and get a chance to play him. I think he'd love it. I think he'd relish it. I think he'd love poking the bear at a rivalry. I think there's a lot of reasons he might take that job. But he's not leaving for Nebraska. And if he does, he's not as smart as I think he is.
Scotty, it's that time of week. What's your money line underdog parlay of the week?
Oh, man. There are so many. I have been looking at this. There are some games that I like. But I am going to go on my front end. I'm going to go with Kansas getting me a little money line on Iowa State.
What's the number in that one?
I think it's 2.5 is where it is now. So it's not huge. You're not getting huge odds, but I do think they're going to win that football game home. And let me tell you something. That place will be rowdy as it can possibly get if they get out there. But I will tell you, I like Burt going home. I like that number too.
I'm taking Troy +6 at 180. Yours is +115. That's best 100 to win 500. I'll take it every day of the week. If you had to say it, what's your favorite play of the week?
Man, because we have been getting questioned about this all week, about what our favorite plays are and when are y'all bringing that back. But I think that I'm going to go with your Baylor Bears at home laying 3 and laying 2.5.
I'm going Kent State over 65 will be my favorite play of the week. So we'll take both.
I knew that was your favorite play, so I did not want to steal that either because I like Baylor a good bit in that.
Oh, we're going to be on Burt again. Oh, man, it's going to be a good Saturday. Hey, folks, we went 4-6 last weekend. We're right around 500 for the season. We're trying to get it done. Hopefully we bring the winning week back this week. But, man, it has been some fun. We are at week 5 of the college football season. We got 12 weeks to go before we get to bowl season. We got so much fun to have. We thank you for having us. Scroll all the way down to the bottom. Give us a review. Give us a rating just so we can see you got some feedback. You can hit us up at Scott Denson Twitter, and I'm at @NitMark. Look forward to hearing from you. Talk to you next week.